This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app.
And welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show. All right, hour number two. It's 5 o'clock here in the Bayou City. All right, let's go check in with Captain Mike Jeffcoat, see what he's up to. Good morning, Mike. What's going on?
Oh, back in the saddle, bro.
Attaboy. At least the winds are down, huh?
Yeah, that's good. Tell him. Just talked with some of the captains yesterday, and they said it was brutal. on top of that full moon, the tides was just unbelievable, I said. But I ain't missed nothing evidently.
No, but these tides have backed off now. We're kind of returning to normal, and we're on the backside of the full moon, but bite's starting to come back.
Yeah, that's what they said. Yesterday was a lot better, he said. He caught about 20 speckled trout. He had 100 sand trout, so white trout, whatever you want to call them.
White trout, yeah, y'all call them white trout. We call them sand trout. Spotless trout.
Yeah. So they showed up.
Spotted
he had the right
wheat
boys
fish.
On the boat. Yeah. He said he had the right customers and they wanted them, so he kept them. Well, they got
I'm sure
them.
Everybody's catching flounder like crazy and you can't even keep them now.
Yep.
For y'all.
He got 18 yesterday.
Had to chunk them back.
Chunk them back. Only good thing about flounder, you generally hook him where you can release him.
So yeah.
You know, you don't feel a bite and he swallows it. So. Well, that's about it. Like I said, I squirrel hunted. You know, I had a small window on that. I mean, that wind started blowing every morning just enough. Nothing brutal, but just enough that, you know, you see it moving, you know, you squirrels, and it's just a little gust of wind blowing out of the woods. So that kind of made it aggravating. But 103 days, killed 25, so that's good enough.
That's a good mess.
Yeah, it was.
Boy, I had an unbelievable squirrel hatch around my place. Every nest has got three baby squirrels learning how to climb the trees and running around and stuff. It's hilarious to watch.
Yep. Yes, it is. I watched it a bunch of mornings.
I got like six nests in the backyard in the top of these trees, and all every one of them had three babies.
I hunted the same place 2 days, and I'd get there before daylight, and I'd sit there, and there was a big old, nasty white oak wind up, big old nest in it. And I sat there in the morning, watched three of them crawl out, like I said, learn how, going through the motions and learn how to live.
Yep.
So they wasn't quite big enough to kill yet, so.
No, they're pretty small. But boy, they, you know, I don't know, it was about 3 weeks ago, I was mowing, and I was this one big cedar tree out front. It's got a big nest on the top of it, and that nest actually started out as a bald eagle nest. He was trying to build one, and they decided not to to build there and just left. But squirrels took it over. And I was mowing and I almost ran over something. I looked to the left and I stopped when I was circling that tree and it was a baby squirrel on the ground. And I picked it up and it didn't have its eyes open yet.
Yellow.
I'm here.
Where'd you go?
I'm here. I'm good to go. I can hear you loud and clear.
I'm here, but I can't hear you.
How about you, Jace? Can you hear me?
Still can't hear you, Mickey.
I don't know. Your phone wigged out or something.
I got full service, so.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on.
Be on in. Call me back.
All right. Call him back, Jay. See what's going on here. I show I'm putting out. You do too, so it's got to be something to do with the phone. That happens, though. Great technology. But no, I'll finish telling that squirrel story to y'all anyway while we're trying to get him. I just picked it up, and it fit in the palm of my hand. It already had its little old teeth and the claws, and the tail wasn't real developed. Had a little bit of hair growing on it. And I kind of set it on the base of that tree, and it was just hanging on the side of it. So hopefully the mom came back down. It must have fell out of the nest. And she must have come back. I'll look. All right, let's try this again. All right, Mike, we're back.
I'm here.
All right.
Yeah, I'm here. Yeah.
All right.
I don't know what's going on.
You can't hear me.
Can you? I can hear you now.
Okay, all right. All right, well, that's good. No, I was showing I was putting out. It just, you know how it works, but.
Oh, yeah. So, no, I've done that. I was a big old kid. I never get my dad come home at lunch one day. And got something in his hand, poked his hand in a little old baby squirrel. Not a hair on it or nothing. Same thing, blowed out of a cedar tree there. All right. Me and mother went to a 5 and 9 store there in Cleveland. And bought a baby doll bottle, and it was glass.
Right.
And I raised this fox squirrel. I raised that squirrel, and I don't know. I had him 5, 6 years, and he finally died. But he was a lot of fun. They make good pets.
Yeah, I picked it up and took it in the house and showed it to my wife, and she goes, "Man, that's pretty big." I said, "His eyes aren't even open yet. Look at his tail; it doesn't have much hair on it yet." But he had claws and teeth, but his eyes weren't open. And I put it back on the base of the tree. I guess the mama came back down and grabbed it and carried it back up in the nest. Because when I was mowing it, I just put him on the base of the tree, and he's just sitting there holding on. He knew how to dig them claws in.
Them deer trying to run a little bit out there at the bottom. Biggest problem I'm seeing on camera, we don't have a lot of doe. We probably got 3 bucks to every doe. Or
really?
Even more, maybe. Yeah. I think that flood really got them does.
Well, that'll make the rut interesting. That'll,
Yeah, it will. Yeah.
You'll probably see a lot of fighting this year because there's not enough does to go around.
Boy, I've been seeing it on social media. My God, they fucks been fighting. I don't know if there's one where I mean, two sure enough, 150 class deers are fighting in a creek and they get hung up. And I mean, it goes wild. The guys are videoing. They finally took a pole saw when they finally got enough of air knocked out of them to be still. We got one of them torn cut off.
Yeah.
Got them loosed. That was some of the hardest fights I ever seen. It's a cool video, but
I saw a video the other day where two bucks were fighting, two, you know, mature bucks like you're talking about, and this one little young 10-pointer, he comes out of nowhere at ramming speed, and he hit that one buck in the side and knocked him for a loop, and then turned around and took off running like a scaredy cat.
Yeah.
It must have been his daddy or something he was taking up for. I don't know, but he come out of nowhere and just slammed that other buck.
Yeah,
and slid him backwards, knocked him for a loop, and then took off running.
Right. Like I said, I've covered a lot of country in 3 days, and there's acorns in places, and there's none in places. I mean, I went through a deal. Well, matter of fact, a bad ground that I hadn't been in, and never saw one acorn really.
Really?
And them trees that have, acorns, and most of them spin oaks. It's about 50-50 good acorns versus bad
acorns.
Yep. I watched them squirrels. I watched 3 squirrels in 1 tree the other morning. I mean, they was working. And they probably dropped more than half. They'd pick that acorn off that limb, just immediately throw it on the ground. I guess they just, they can feel it soft, and they just drop it.
Yeah. They probably know by the smell,
Yeah. And the elm trees, probably killed more squirrel elm trees than I did anything. They're cutting them a little. The elm tree's got a little bud in there that they eat.
Right.
We had no cypress balls again. We hadn't had cypress balls in, 5 years.
Really?
Nope. I don't know why. I need to research that which I really don't like. They're kind of easy to hunt in a cypress tree, but the problem is generally over water.
And, right.
I've had 4 or 5 that I've seen in cypress trees, but they're out of where it water. They wasn't covered. They're just in them. And would chew them because you ain't going to get it. Now, my brother, matter of fact, I think it was Saturday morning, he hunted a big old slough. We rode together, got back, and I said, "Hey, I got 9. I shot 11 down." He said, "Yeah, but one of my shot, it was pretty shallow water." He said, "I went on and shot him because I knew I could get him." And he said, "That squirrel hit the water, and an alligator grabbed him immediately." I said, "What's the odds of that? That alligator laying right where that squirrel fell."
But feeding the local wildlife.
Yep, but you're gonna have to feed some corn this year if you're gonna get them deer around you, because like I said, they just no acorn.
Well, that's good.
All the squirrels,
if you can get them to come into corn, then you might get a shot at good one.
They're there. I mean, I got cameras on 4 different feeders, and it's just unbelievable, and it's so funny. I watched when I was going through them videos. Our pictures that the time that full moon, them deer mostly stirred around 1:30 in the morning.
Very middle of the night.
2 or 3 night. Very middle of the night on that big moon.
Yep.
And that moon was big. I really don't know what these guys won't catch today. I hope they won't catch trout.
Just go fishing.
That seems to be. Yeah,
put them on some trout, man.
Well, you know how it is here. This time of year, everybody's down here catching bullet heads. So.
Yep. That's weird how it's really different your way. Everybody goes to Venice for the redfish, and when they fish up here, they fish for trout and then red secondary.
Yep.
Oh,
I heard
y'all
bullet red. This was getting pretty big.
We got some horses running around. We got them, but it's a lot of them are in the Gulf right now. They've been tearing them a new one, man.
Gotcha. Well, we got some in the river, but you don't want to play with them in the river. You can't do nothing but.
No, that deep water current, man, that is something else.
Yeah.
Reeling in them big bulls.
Well, it's just the problem of it is, you're going to see them birds in that river this morning, and I don't even pay no attention to them because I know what's under. about 50% of it's going to be gap top, which Jerry Jones is coming in today. You ought to be happy to hear me, Jerry.
Yeah.
Get all the gap top you want this time.
Well, we hadn't had enough cold fronts yet to chase them out of here.
Yep. You know, but on the outside, I ain't caught bull redfish, and I was not caught a catfish on the outside. Amazing. The catfish all pulled in that river. And I'll say a third going to be gap top, a third of it's going to be jack bubs, and another third's going to be bull reds. So it's just according to what blow up you throw at, is what you're going to catch. And big ladyfish. I caught one that last day I fished. I seen a bull red come up, and I throwed in there and tried to catch him, and I reeled back, he didn't eat it, and I reeled back to the boat, and I had my bait still in water. Something grabbed it, bowed my pole up, and I just flipped the bail, let it run, because I didn't have 6 foot line out. And I let it get away from the boat, and I set the bail back on. And there's a ladyfish. I swear to me, that fish looked like he was 3 foot long.
That's a big they're nasty, man.
And finally, I let it keep jumping enough that it de-hooked itself.
A good
crazy
thing. All right, brother. Well, hey, Mike, if somebody wants to call you about getting over there and getting in on that trout run this fall, how do they get a hold of you, man?
You called 832-338-9376. Catch on the web at RJ Hunting and Fishing.
All right, buddy. Well, you have a good day. Tell old Jerry Jones hello and wipe out that gaff top population.
Will do.
Take care. Get them all. Later. All right, buddy. See you, man. All right. Well, I need to take a moment to tell everybody about the Belleville Meat Market. Easy to find right in downtown Belleville. Their meat market and processing facility are right next door to one another. And when you're at the meat market, check out all their smoked sausage samples. They're available daily in the store. You can try it before you buy it, see which blend you like the best. Full menu pecan smoked barbecue. They serve that Monday through Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. And pecan smoked pulled pork, homemade hot dogs, they're all available on the menu with bulk pricing available on fresh ground beef and pecan smoked sausage. And original country hot dogs, you can buy 2 packs of those right now and get the third pack free. And if you're looking to have a quarter or half calf process, that's available for pre-order also. And their wild game processing, check out their new sausage recipe that's available just in time for deer season. You got to try it and get deer tamales, venison hot dogs made. Your family will love that you did. And they're now taking orders for their country smoked turkeys with Thanksgiving right around the corner. 11 to 13 pound average birds. They're limited supply, so get them while you can. That's the Belleville Meat Market, where meat is our middle name.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast.
You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod. That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show. Okay. All right. It's 520 here in the Bayou City. Let's go down to G-Town now. Let's check in with Captain James Plagg over at Tiki Island. See what he's up to this morning. Hey, James. Good morning. How are you, buddy?
Yo, Mac. What's up, buddy?
Not a lot. How are you, man?
I'm still going, man. It's all good.
Ever ready, bunny?
It's all good. I don't know about that bunny part, but we're still trucking. It's nice this morning. Dead calm.
Yeah.
But it's done got...
You got any ground fog down there? Well, y'all got a little bit of a breeze. I didn't have any up my way, and a lot of ground fog.
Yeah, I had it yesterday. It was, you know, just patchy ground fog.
Uh-huh.
But I ain't really got nowhere yet for there to be nothing, so
right.
Maybe. But, yeah, there. I say there's a little breeze. Mickey, there was, and there's not now.
Yeah.
There ain't a ripple. So we'll see. Looks like the tides ain't as high. We ought to be right at high tide right now, and it's not that high like they
were. Yeah, it's kind of getting back to normal high.
But, man, you know, fishing was really good when it was nasty. You know, we had them high tides and the water temperature dropped. Well, I talked
right
to you. Sunday was good. Monday was good. Tuesday was good. Sunday we caught some nice fish. I mean, we caught, you know, a fair amount of 3 to 4.5 pound trout. We didn't have no fives, but some 4.5s. And then we caught one good one Tuesday and some 21s and 22s. The warmer it gets, the worse it gets, you know, as far as size.
Mm-hmm.
Yesterday I fished out of the boat yesterday and it was okay. I mean, we're catching them. You know, but it's a little bit, I don't think it's as good as wading right now.
Yeah.
No, it depends on where you land on them. You
sure
know, if you land on them, first thing, I don't think the afternoon bite is too good. Actually, I was telling you when we were talking the other day, we just got through making a pass through this one place, and we catch, you know, I know we catch 30 for sure. We might have caught over 30, you know, decent trout.
Yeah.
And then we got through, and I said, man, let's go back through here one more time. I just wanted to see for myself. And dude, you'd have thought there weren't a fish there. So when they shut it down, man. Now, if you stay super late, maybe catch the end coming, but it's late, dude. It's like dark. I ain't going to be there at dark. They ain't big enough to still be there at dark.
No.
I think the water temperature was... Man, maybe 74 yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
So, and when we was catching them fish pretty good ones, the tide was super high, it was blowing, it was nasty, nobody was fishing. And, man, I want to say it was 68, maybe touched a little over 70 when you came in. You know, it's funny, you know this, we've seen it a million times. You can be wearing them pencils out, doing all that, and you get you a cold front, or you don't go for a couple of days, it blows out of the north at 20, and it drops that water temperature about 10 to 12 degrees, and you go back right where you were doing on them pencils and catch nice trout.
Yeah.
I don't think, well, you think they just don't bite, or there's too many little ones, don't let them bite.
I guess. I think it's so many little ones, there's too much competition, you know.
Yeah. Either way, Mickey, I can go back. I can drive right to where them nice trout were. They ain't leaving. They ain't going nowhere. And I guarantee you I won't catch one.
Right.
I mean, you might catch a 20-inch fish, but you ain't going to catch what we were catching in there Sunday.
Yeah.
But I don't think they go nowhere. They ain't nowhere for them to go.
No.
But it's the same deal.
If you got the bait source, they're going to stay there. There's no reason for them to leave.
Yeah, the Waiting deal, you know, if it looks like it's good, it's good. Now, the fishing out of the boat, man, you just start hitting stuff, and it don't look like nothing. But then, you know, you'll catch three or four.
Yeah.
Go to the next spot, catch three or four. I mean, you know, I don't think it's no pull up, put the anchor out on nothing, and lean on anything. Dane and I, we hit something yesterday. We hit it real early, first thing in the morning. I mean, it's not daylight, and the way it looks right there, if you'd have told me we don't catch 40 fish just for fun, I'd have lost every dime I had. And we just caught just a couple of fish, and it looked like you'd caught a million of them.
Yeah.
Billions of mullet. Like, man, what's up, dude? And they just didn't bite, or they're not there. Wanted to. So, but the cooler it gets, the better it's going to get. Same old deal. But it's still good right now, but they just don't bite very long. They bite. They got a little window in the morning when they bite, kind of right when that tide starts, you know, right when it starts falling. And when it really gets to rolling, because it got pretty low yesterday. It got low yesterday, not pretty low. I come back from the gym, and it was like, man, there ain't no water. So it goes out.
Yeah, we got a good out going right now.
But I think right when, you know, that tide's really ripping, Mickey, really coming out, they want to shut it down. They don't really want to bite.
No,
right,
they when like it turns, eating on the back end of it.
Exactly. So,
and
you
that's
know,
late
maybe,
in the evening. I mean, what's the low today at Galveston Channel? 517.
Yeah, so in the bay, anywhere you're fishing the bay, you know, you put a couple hours on there, so it's like dark, man. It's like dark, but dang, if I go this early, I ain't gonna be out there at no 7 o'clock.
Right.
they gonna be biting without me.
Those long days are out of my realm nowadays.
Oh, we used to do it. Gosh,
daylight till dark every single day.
I mean, daylight till darks, man.
Good Lord.
A bunch of them. Remember that one year we had that Glassmina pattern showed up? Remember we'd go at daylight and we wouldn't catch none until the sun was setting. Finally, we were so stupid it took us a while to wise up. Man, why don't we just
put in about noon or 1 o'clock and fish till dark?
Yeah. Remember, then it got later. We'd go at noon, same deal. Then we got to where we were going at like 4 o'clock.
Yeah.
But we wouldn't get through till like 10 o'clock at night, you know?
I know.
That was some crazy fishing, man. That was insane.
Yeah, that was pretty bizarre. Trout
we'd be 3 miles
out of water, eating on glass minnows and just, you know.
We'd be 3 or 4 miles apart, and they just, when that sun started setting, they started jumping out of the water, and they weren't no bait. You know, I did that when I was fishing in Matagorda a lot in the early 90s, whenever that was. They would do that in West Matagorda Bay.
Yeah.
Man, it was a disaster, dude, because you're there at dark. And now you got to run back to the harbor where I was, and
right,
locks and all that stuff. Man, you'd get home at like midnight.
Oh.
And they were jumpers, but they weren't what Trinity Bay fish was. Them Trinity Bay fish were like legit 2 to 4s with 5s hopping out of water. These were just like 17, 18-inch trout, Matagorda.
Yeah, that's the way, you know, Sabine used to be the same way over there, just like Trinity. And, I mean, nothing.
Remember?
You know, to see an 8-pound trout jump out of the water like a mullet chasing glass minnows, that's pretty cool to watch.
It was crazy. You remember Marvin Coon? I had Marvin Coon.
Oh, Marv,
Yeah, and James Hughes, and it's cold, dude. I mean, it is cold. The water was like 48 degrees that morning. Matter of fact, we got halfway across the lake, and I turned around and said, I ain't got enough stuff. I don't think they had no more stuff, but I had more stuff. So I go back to the truck, get more stuff, blah, 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 blah. We fish all day. We ain't caught but like one. It's terrible. It's cold. And we were waiting. What's the middle island up there that had that shell all out front
Sydney.
Of it? Sydney. We're standing out there and we're fishing.
That's where I caught my biggest trout of my life.
Exactly. And we're throwing Marlers. We ain't catching nothing. And I look out there, and I said, man, I'm pretty sure I just saw like a 4-pound jump out of the water. And I'm fishing. Hey, the water's like 51 degrees. I'm like, I probably didn't see that, but I think I saw that. So I'm fishing. We ain't catching nothing. And then I see one. I actually look at him, about a 4-pounder jump out of the water. And I said, man, they're out there. So we're out to the tops of our waders. buddy, that sun started setting, and they went to jumping out of the water, and we went to absolutely destroying them. Everybody's dipping. Everybody's full of water. It's frozen. Hey, we got back to the music park thing, whatever that thing is we used to put in up there. It was like 8 o'clock at night. Everybody's wet. But, dude, you couldn't get a 51 series mirror lure back. They were just, it was crazy. But I guess what got me, 51 degree water, and they're jumping out of the water.
Yeah. Just when you wouldn't think something like that would happen, be that active.
Yeah, that's why I don't ever say never no more.
No. Dana and Kenny look at some of those fish we caught over at Calcasieu when the water would burn your legs. It was so cold.
And, you know, that was classic, too. We'd be waiting, and the water would be cold, and that sun would come up, and you could watch them mullet come in there shallow. It was just like textbook stuff, and then big trout would come right with them. Like, man, there ain't no way. And you'd go in there and throw. Thump, there he is. Big one.
Catch 2000s.
hey, them catch 2000s, them paint 2000s, I couldn't buy enough of them.
No. Them trout went crazy over them over there. That was a hell of a bait.
That was an unbelievable fishery over there. For that period of time that we were beating that up, that was pretty crazy, man. I was, I was living over there in Sulphur, Louisiana. That's where I stayed.
Yeah, they didn't like us over there.
Nah, but, you know, really, when we were there, there really wasn't nobody there. There wasn't nobody really.
No.
Well, there wasn't nobody waiting.
No, they were all duck hunting.
Right. And then the longer we stayed, we'd start seeing, you know, some boats. I usually left about, you know, right around the first week of March when it warmed up, those fish would kind of scatter. I remember that day you and I and Trimble went over there, first time anybody ever stepped foot on what place now. And I said, what about getting at us? Look at them streets. You said, they got to be here. We hung. Remember, we got out, and I watched you walk out there to that streak. I couldn't reach it. I don't know how many fish you caught standing there, but I know you caught 50 or 60. And finally, they kind of come in there where me and Trimble was. But I said, man, we got us a spot. Remember that?
Yep, that was good stuff, man. You know, and it was something new. You know, you're learning stuff, and that's what I liked about just leaving here and going and doing stuff like that.
Yeah, we just went to getting out over there. We didn't know what to do. We didn't know nothing.
Well, I had one guy there at that marina. Me and Pete had old house rented there next to that old bait camp, and we were staying over there for a week catching all them big fish. And he said, I seen y'all wading that island up there last night. He said, you know, getting out of a boat in this place is like jumping out of a perfectly good aircraft. I said, well, that's everybody has their opinions.
Yeah. Hey, and I know one day that island there, Rodney, me, you, we had Tom Smith brothers. I don't think I caught a 9-pounder, but I know everybody caught.
Yeah, and Rodney had a 9-12 that day.
I don't know. I know you might have caught a 9. That's when you bought. Because I said, you want me to bring the boat to you? You said, oh, shut up, man. I'm fine.
I went down twice that day. I went down at the Bayou mouth. You and Dana, y'all just took off and went north. And I'm going, what? You know, you left me with y'all's parties. And we're all waiting down at shoreline. I said, hey, I'll go back and get James's boat and come pick you guys up. So I figured, well, we're a mile from it. I said, I'll just walk up on the bank and just crawl down the bank, you know, coon it back to the boat. Man, I got up there in that shallow water, and when I hit that shell, I should have turned around and backed off, because when I hit that shell, I went waist deep in mud.
Yeah, that was a bad plan.
I had to put my rod in my mouth and crawl out like an alligator, got soaking wet, got back to the boat, got in my bag, got my change of clothes out, took my waders off, put dry clothes on. And then that evening, we're up north, and when I went to cross over that island to get to the other side, Dana, all those fish moved to his side. Remember, he started catching them big ones, so I'm going to just walk across that tip. Same thing happened. I believe I'm still cold from that trip. Had boat ride
man,
back to the ferry, I froze to death, man.
Yeah, because we come from the far north, and we had to go all the way back to wherever that, I guess, Calcasieu.
We put it at the ferry that day.
Ferry. Yeah. Hey, well, that's good, though. As many times as you got me wet over 50 years, that's good. I was happy you was getting wet.
Remember, we pulled in over at Sabine, and y'all cleaned all them fish for everybody, and I sat in a truck with a cup of coffee with that heater on.
I don't blame you. I wouldn't have done it no other way. Kenny and Dana, I was over there one day. We ain't caught nothing. Ain't even thought about catching nothing. And we was wading that point. If you come out of that cove we used to wade, and you had that big point going to the south.
Yeah.
And I don't even know why we were fishing there, because I never caught nothing there. We're fishing, nothing. The sun's going down. It's cold. Our feet are cold. It's miserable. And I threw out there, I was using an 809 Mariner. And I said, man, I either had some kind of bite or I hooked a clamshell. But it felt like a bite. So we stand there, and we're talking and fishing. And it's cold. The sun's going down. I threw out there, and the lure just stopped. I said, man, that's a fish. So him and Kenny and I are standing there. And from that time right there to that first bite, you know how cold that water got over there.
Oh, yeah.
Once they got going right there at dark, you couldn't get a mirror lure back. It didn't matter how fast you reeled it. So that's what people tell me all the time about this cold water and you grandpa and
you can't outswim them fish with any bait you throw. They're going to come get it, man.
When they go to biting, buddy, I said, hey, look, man. If they're out here, they got to bite. They got to eat. They're all not going to starve.
Yeah.
At some point in time, they got to bite something.
They're used to catching wild mullet, man. You can't work it too fast for them.
You're exactly right, buddy.
All right, Plog, I got to roll, man. If somebody wants to call you about coming down to G-Town and going to the bottom and living a dream, give them some info.
All right, buddy. 409-771-7306. Enjoy
right,
it.
Buddy.
How's your old dog? What'd they say about your old dog?
Well, she's had like a little mini stroke, and you know, just she's just old, man. Just like us. It's we're all headed there, so I'm trying to enjoy her as long as I've got her. And I don't know
there
what's gonna happen.
All right, buddy. Just checking on you. All right,
thanks, James. See you, dog.
Right,
later. You know, folks, if you're looking for the ultimate outdoor adventure, welcome to Rusty Hook Ranch, a premier hunting and fishing destination right in Matagorda, Texas. And whether you're after waterfowl, quail, thermal hog, alligator hunts, plus top-tier Matagorda Bay fishing charters, bring your friends, family, and clients and enjoy five-star lodging along with skeet shooting, sporting clays, and a fully stocked bass pond. And Rusty Hook Lodge, they can accommodate large groups. And they can sleep up to 40 people, and they can host events for over 300 people. So Rusty Hook Lodge is great for team building, weddings, and family reunions. So why wait? Experience the best at Rusty Hook Ranch. Book your adventure today. Just go to RustyHookRanch.com. That's RustyHookRanch.com. And when you do, please tell them Captain Mickey sent you. Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show. All right, it's 542 here in the Bayou City. Let's run down to G-Town, check in with our good friend Sharky Marquez. Good morning, Michael. How are you, man?
What's up, buddy?
What's going on?
Man, not a whole lot, brother, man. Not a whole lot.
Well,
I'm not going fishing today. I wish I was.
Yeah, it's another nice day in the neighborhood.
Yeah, it's beautiful out there, man. It is beautiful. I mean, low winds, buddy. I'm showing like two knot winds coming out of the south southwest going into Galveston. It's nice.
Yes,
the beach is gonna be flat, buddy. That beach is gonna be flat. Maybe I'll blast out today this afternoon, man, and try to do some maybe a night wade or something like that right here at the beach. See if we can go catch some trout or something fun, man. But other than that, I've been rocking and rolling with the phones, man. And you know, mom and dad's been out of the country. They got back on Sunday evening, and God bless them. They were in both urgent care with bad sickness, you know, on Monday morning. And so, anyway, the streak has continued. God bless them. They've been out for the count here, and I've been full-fledged, you know, rocking and rolling with all the business phones and stuff here for now three more days. So
I got a good friend. Yeah. He came back yesterday. He was out of the country for a wedding, and he was sick the whole time. He couldn't even go to the wedding. First day he was there, he got it bad, and it was
oh my
it
gosh.
Was ugly.
That is terrible, man. I feel so bad.
He's not that big a guy, and he lost 7 pounds, so that ought to tell you how sick he was.
Golly.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's crazy, man. That's crazy. Yeah, they kind of had the same deal, man. I think it was 3 days in, Dad got sick, and then three days after that, Mom got sick, so they couldn't do much. Man, I just feel bad for them, but goodness.
I'll just stick it out here at home.
yeah, no joke, man. I'm trying to look ahead, see if we had any good cold spells before the, you know, November 1st.
Good luck.
Yeah, I'm not seeing it.
I saw the, the extended winter forecast for our area, you know, with this La Nina thing, you know, this pattern we're in, and calling for a warmer, drier winter.
That's, that's interesting.
That's right up my alley. I don't like it too cold, and I don't like it wet, so, hey, I'm good to go.
Yeah, it's not the worst thing in the world. I do wish we had a little cold push, man. We had some...
Well, I think we will. You know, we had a hurricane, and usually every time we pull a hurricane here locally, we'll get a snow or something around Christmas time, you know, in the winter.
Yeah. Gets real, real, real crazy cold.
Or a bad freeze. I don't want that. But
yeah, I don't want that either, man.
No.
I was hoping for a little push there before that November 1. We got a couple of flounder trips, you know, coming up this week. And, you know, as early as Friday, I think we had two or three trips out of the, you know, several trips that we had. We had two or three that were flounder trips, and we talked to them yesterday and kind of just mentioned, you know, I think Chris has one coming up. He's going to call them today. Kind of mentioned, hey, man, look, you know, just ain't on yet. You know, of course,
yeah, I'm not hearing a lot of flounder stories right now.
Yeah. You know, I don't know how I think somebody caught a good 7-pounder for the Flatty Daddy tournament.
Yeah, I think there was one over 7 weighed in or something. Yeah,
that's a big fish.
You got the best flounder fisherman there is around here fishing in that, you know, hitting them.
Yeah, that's a big fish.
Only ones I'm seeing are, you know, like wade fishermen are catching them, you know, on the shallow flats while they're trout fishing. That's kind of been a pattern that I've been seeing anyway, you know, in about 3 feet of water or less around drains.
Yeah, got to be in that shallow.
Shell.
Yeah. I mean, they're there, you know, they're there scattered, but they ain't, you know, they ain't super hungry. So... I don't know. Of course, it'll be like November 2nd, and, you know, you'll be fishing for redfish at the jetties or something, and every cast will be a, you know, 20-inch saddle blanket flounder.
Oh, boy.
And they'll be closed, buddy.
Yes, sir.
That's how it goes, Sharky.
Well, I didn't have a lot of time this morning. Somebody wants to get down and hook up with you folks. Give them some info how they can get in touch, man.
No problem, man. Hop on our website. It's Outcast Fishing. With no G at the end, charters.com. You can check out our trip packages, pricing, and availability right there on our website. And come out, check us out in G-Town, man. We'd love to have you guys make some memories with y'all. Be safe, everybody. Have a blessed rest of your week. And, Mickey, we'll talk to you on Saturday.
We're going to do it and tell Mama Sharky and your dad to get well.
I will, brother.
All right, bud.
Thanks so much, Mickey.
Thanks, Michael. See you, buddy. All right.
See you, man.
All right, that's Sharky Marquez down in G-Town. Now let's run up to the big Sam Rayburn, see what's on Randy Dierman's mind this morning. Hey, Randy, how you doing, bud? What's up?
Good morning, Captain Mick.
Well, how you doing?
Me?
Yeah, I can hear you good.
Doing good. Fixing to go down and grab about 3 bags of minnows and go out there and see if we can't wear these crappie out.
There you go.
They've been biting pretty fair, catching, you know, pretty good numbers. Not getting a limit every time we go, but getting a nice mess if we don't. And some really, really good size ones, Mickey.
Yeah. That's what you've been telling me. The size is really good.
Yeah, big old slabs. I mean, yes, kind you'd like to see when you swing them up there.
Yeah.
Hadn't bass fished any in the last few days, but I'm sure that they're still going pretty good too.
Yeah, I hear there's a lot of small bass being caught right now, just tons of them.
Yeah, that's pretty much. I mean, I got a guy told me they caught some bigger ones on up the lake further, but I don't know whether he did caught that many big ones or not. You know, I can't say he didn't, but I ain't going to say he did either.
Yeah, you know how fishing news is.
Yeah.
Boy, that fish get bigger every hand it goes through.
That's part of it, though, isn't it?
It is. We've been doing this a long time. We've seen it all, brother.
I mean, but, you know, it's just, shoot, I love to take people where they can catch 40 or 50, you know, bass.
Sure.
It can learn about catching them, you know, throwing that old worm up there and knowing, you know, when to jerk and when they do get around a big one.
I love that worm fishing, man. I love that tap, and then that line tightens up and starts moving. Mm-hmm. Hey, get on him, baby.
That's it.
Set hooks. That's the best part, setting a hook.
We were, catching, a lot of fish, and a long time was catching them real shallow. I mean, a foot to two, 3 foot of water, and a lot of times throwing a real light weight on it. I mean, real light, or sometimes they were throwing that Ocho with no weight at all, and a lot of times you wouldn't even feel it. You just throw it out there, and about the time the line take off sideways.
Yeah, you know, there you go.
But that old tap, I like to feel them big ones when they really thump it, you know.
That's when you know it's a good bite, when you get that good tap or thump.
That's it. You know, I used to, back in the day when I was still fishing tournaments and running around all over the country, I'd do a lot of seminars and stuff at different Bass Pro Shop in different places, and that's what I'd tell people when they feel that, you know, jerk. I said, that means he's got it. They actually what that is, when you feel that tongue, Dickie, that fish is taking that tongue. You know, bass's tongue is all rough and top of his mouth up there, and they take that tongue and crush it up against the top of their mouth. What that is, that's what's happening.
I love it. Yes, sir. Now,
well, this weather is nice, finally, isn't it?
It is. Very nice. Indian summer.
It ain't going to last, though. You know?
No, it ain't. It never does. But, hey, enjoy it while you can, brother.
I'll head south.
Laugh it up, and then you're going to go to where it's hotter. You know, head to Mexico.
That's all right. That's a different kind of heat.
When are you leaving?
I don't go to Thanksgiving, Mickey.
Yeah. All right. Well, I got a few more reports to get out of you before you haul butt to Mexico.
Yeah. And we still got some days loose there in November, so somebody wants to come catch a box of crappies, give us a holler.
All right. Well, hey, throw them out that number, brother.
936-328-0864. Have a good game, Mick.
You too, Randy. Catch them up, man. All right. That's Randy Dearman up on the Big Sam. Unfortunately, that's all the time we have for today's show. We'll be back in the morning bright and early, 4 a.m. right here at Sports Radio 610 KILT Houston.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app.